This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
We are still in this middle section of Luke's Gospel, which a couple of weeks ago when I preached, I told you was called the travelogue. And it describes the time that Jesus spent after he sets his face to Jerusalem and before he makes his entry into Jerusalem. Luke, you might remember, says at the beginning of his gospel that he's set about to write an orderly account of these things. It seems that Luke believes that all the other accounts that have going around maybe not quite as orderly as you might need, and he can set it right. And this travelogue is a part of that. But it's not orderly, please hear me say, in that you could pull out this part of Luke's gospel and a map of the Holy Land and draw a route that Jesus took and use it as a path for your own pilgrimage. It is not orderly in a geographic sense. It does not follow in a logical order geographically. But it is orderly because Jesus, at the beginning of the travelogue, sets his face towards Jerusalem. And he says that he has come to bring good news to the poor, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim release to the captives. And that is what he does as he moves through this passage. He sets people free. He brings good news to people who need to hear it. And it is orderly in another sense, because the conflict between Jesus and the religious authorities continues to grow. The travelogue has a pattern of miraculous healing and teaching, and it goes back and forth, miraculous healing, teaching. And so we're in one of the teaching passages. But the people whom Jesus has been teaching, apparently, are the sinners and the tax collectors. And the religious authorities of the day, the Pharisees and the scribes, don't think those are the right people for Jesus to spend his time with. Perhaps they think, if there's good news to be proclaimed, it ought to be proclaimed to us first. We have been very faithful, waiting to hear this good news, and then we will pass it along to the people who we think need to hear it. Maybe that's one way they see it. In any event, they don't think it's okay that these are the people Jesus chooses to spend time with. To be clear, in this section of Luke's gospel, he's not only eating with tax collectors and sinners. He does spend time with tax collectors and sinners, but he eats with Pharisees and scribes and religious authorities too. It's not that they're not hearing this good news. They would just prefer those other folks be left out. Maybe later they could come along, or maybe if they passed a test. And Jesus is a good teacher. So when they come to grumble, and apparently grumbling has a beautiful word with onomatopoeia in the Greek. I don't know the word, so you're just going to have to hold on to this idea of grumbling. It sounds like something. It's not just complaining. It's a sound. It's recognizable. When they come to grumble to Jesus, he doesn't waste a lot of time trying to convince them to change their minds about the tax collectors and the sinners. Instead, he uses a parable to tell them about what he is meant to do with his time. And like many good teachers, he starts with a question. Which of you, having 100 sheep and finding one lost, would not leave the 99 and go off and find the one? Beloveds, the answer to that question is none of you would do that if you were a real shepherd in the first century. That is absurd. That is not how you take care of sheep. If you went to do that, if you left your 99 behind and you came back with the one, you would have one sheep at the end of that. One. You would have lost 99. That is not how sheep work. That is not how shepherds work. You have to stay with the big group. And that's maybe why you have dogs or children, someone else to go after the one. But the shepherd has to stay with the big group. Sheep have been bred for a lot of things. They have been bred for their beautiful coats that we can gather the wool from. They have been bred to follow the shepherd faithfully. they have not been bred to be very smart or very self-reliant. And so it's no surprise that one gets lost, but it's really surprising to leave the 99 behind. But Jesus isn't making a point about sheep. He's making a point about God's love for each and every one of us. Not just for the tax collectors and the sinners, also for the Pharisees and the scribes who are grumbling. All of them are so beloved of God that were they to be lost, God's love would pursue them, track them down, follow their moves until they could be restored to the community. Maybe you came to church today feeling like one of the one, feeling lost and separated from God's love. And if you did, I want you to hear that God's love is chasing after you, is seeking you out, is looking for you in particular. Or maybe, as you sit in a pew with other followers of Christ, you know yourself to be one of the 99. But we are not sheep, so we will not be helpless while the shepherd chases down the one. We, 99, have work to do too. We can watch out for each other. We can make sure there are still 99 when the shepherd returns. We can watch for our brothers and sisters and help them find their way back in if they start to stray. We can make sure that it's not the flock's fault when one is led away, that we haven't pushed somebody out for the shepherd to go chase down. There is work and there is grace and there is love for the one and for the 99. The Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling, but the people of God, the shepherd, his friends and neighbors, the woman and her neighbors, even the angels are rejoicing. And Christ is calling us into that rejoicing. Come and join the feast. One has been restored to us who was lost, and God's love for the 99 remains. Thanks be to God.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.